chapter 24, by way of introduction here tonight. Luke chapter 24. I've been working a little bit off and on for a few weeks now in a series that I'm kind of putting together. And one of the areas of the Bible that I've not really targeted much, because I try to preach chronologically through the Bible and Old Testament, New Testament. And as we finished up our study on David, I kind of was praying about the possibility of going this direction. And so I've been working on that for a few weeks. Study through the Old Testament prophets. I don't know how detailed that's going to be. I've not decided that yet. We're just going to use this lesson here by way of an introduction here tonight. Notice Luke 24, notice verse 25 through 27 to begin with here. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, of course, that's Genesis through Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then also notice another statement about this in verse 44. It says, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Also notice 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, again, I'm wanting to have us look at the tie that the Old Testament prophets are to us in the New Testament era. Again, I've told you, I've had people tell me over the years, you know, a New Testament preacher shouldn't be preaching from the Old Testament. Oh, really? Then why are all the New Testament epistles referring back to the Old Testament? So obviously, we need to understand the Old Testament so that we understand how they apply as far as the New Testament. Notice it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Notice the Old Testament prophets had a ministry for us today in the New Testament era, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, notice the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ in relation to the Old Testament prophets, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, such things, which things, the angels desired to look into. Also, one other passage by way of introduction, a familiar passage, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, actually, verse 15 also gives us a clue on this. It says here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, let me ask you, did Timothy have the New Testament yet? Obviously not. It was still being written. This was one of the books right here that we're reading from that he received. Even as an adult. So from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, obviously the Old Testament Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All right, so all Scripture, does that mean just the New Testament? Obviously not. We're talking about Old Testament and New Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's times I'm reading through the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit can convict my heart just as much as he can the New Testament as we think about the correction and instruction in righteousness and all those things. And of course, we have Old Testament examples to help us to know how we should live as well or what we shouldn't do based on bad examples. Notice that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So as I'm emphasizing here, we see that the Old Testament prophets have a message for us today. As we've already seen, reference here more than one place as far as salvation. Even as we've been studying through the book of Hebrews, we see constant references back to the Old Testament in relation to our salvation. Related to that, we also see something related to our Savior. Now, what's very interesting, as we've already seen in our repentance lesson here recently, in relation to salvation, it talks about the Old Testament scriptures leading somebody to repentance. And again, Abraham says, you know, that if they won't respond to Moses, then they won't respond to somebody rising from the dead. So again, salvation, but also our Savior. I want for us to notice several references to this. Notice me, first of all, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. So we think about the Old Testament, and we've seen already that there's three different sections that the Israelites would recognize as far as divisions in their Old Testament scriptures. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms, or we also could say the writings, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and sometimes Lamentations is included in that. But verse 17, Matthew 5, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. So that's a summary of the Old Testament. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus Christ came, and we think about all the hundreds of prophecies that he fulfilled in his earthly ministry, and even in the crucifixion and resurrection. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, I believe that's a very clear statement in relation to the preservation of every aspect of Old Testament scripture. He says, again, one jot or one tittle, one smallest part of a letter even, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. While we're here, I want you to notice also an application in relation to the Old Testament for New Testament saints. Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Here's the statement I want to emphasize. For this is the law and the prophets. So you want a summary of the Old Testament law. We see Jesus doing this from time to time in the gospel, his earthly ministry. But here we have a summary of the law and the prophets. Whatsoever we would want men to do for us, notice we are even to do so to them. So we wouldn't want them, you know, to get even, right? So we don't need to get even, whatever, the application. But again, it's a broad application of the Old Testament scriptures. Now, when we think about what the New Testament says about our Savior, I want you to notice several things here. Acts chapter 3. And what I want to emphasize here in relation to our salvation and our Savior and the gospel presentation, I honestly believe that we should be using more Old Testament scripture than we do. I think we've gotten this mindset with the popular soul-winning presentation of Romans Road, as it's commonly referred to. I remember that as I was dealing with my great-grandfather when he was in his 90s, and when I led him to the Lord when he was 100 years old, I remember one of the passages, one of the verses came to my mind. The Holy Spirit brought this verse to mind. I'm convinced of that. When he told me, as I presented the gospel to him, and when he was in his 90s, my great-grandfather said, I don't know if I've done anything bad enough to need salvation. He'd been a good Presbyterian. He'd attended church. He was a good father, good, you know, grandpa, great-grandfather. He lived a very good life, moral life, and so on. But I said, Grandpa, there's a problem with that. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as I quoted from Isaiah 64, verse 6. As you think about the reality of that, there are powerful statements found in the Old Testament scriptures. All right, so then you think about Acts 8 as an example, as the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Isaiah 53. He had a scroll from Isaiah. Obviously, Philip was able to take that Old Testament passage and lead him to faith in Christ. As we see here in Acts chapter 3, then, verse 12 and following, I want you to notice this passage here in relation to the statements about the prophets. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, obviously referring back to the Old Testament, of course, the New Testament is not written at this point, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And notice his name through a faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Again, these are things, this is a quote from Old Testament prophecies. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Again, he's emphasizing the message of the holy prophets, the Old Testament prophets, as he's proclaiming the gospel. Also notice in the Acts chapter 10, another reference here now to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, notice verse 34. Acts 10, verse 34, talking to Cornelius and his household. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Many Israelites in this culture thought that God was a respecter of persons, but as I've been showing you in studies here lately, that God had a plan for the Gentiles right from the start. It was not an afterthought. Verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, remember he's talking to Gentiles here, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. Notice verse 43, to him give all the prophets, Old Testament prophets, witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Obviously, preaching in relation to the Old Testament, notice even Gentiles were saved here in this passage. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, Jewish believers, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They also received the Holy Ghost, just as the Jewish believers did on the day of Pentecost. Then also another passage, chapter 24. Again, I'm just kind of skipping through some examples here. But again, emphasizing the tie to the Old Testament prophets in relation to the preaching of the New Testament gospel. Acts 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Notice, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Again, tying it all back from the Old Testament. Of course, Job, as far as chronologically, Job, right from the beginning, chapter 19 talks about the resurrection of the future resurrection when he would be resurrected and see his Redeemer in the flesh. One other passage in Acts here, Acts 26, verse 22. Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So in relation to his defense here, he's using Old Testament prophecies about Christ, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead as the first fruits, as the New Testament teaches us, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Of course, every nation had heard the gospel in the first century. King Agrippa, here's the application to the king here. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. I believe very strongly that King Agrippa believed the Old Testament scriptures, but yet I believe very strongly in this passage here, he did not believe because as king, it would not be the popular thing to do. It was not popular to be in power and be a Christian. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto him, said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. From everything we know in Scripture, Agrippa was almost persuaded to be a Christian, but he died and went to hell. How sad. How sad. He believed the Old Testament Scriptures, the Old Testament prophets, but he still went to hell according to what we know of Scripture. Again, many times the New Testament quotes the Old Testament prophets. Many of the prophecies have already been fulfilled, and I believe that is proof that remaining prophecies will yet be fulfilled. Now, as far as Old Testament history, I think it's very interesting as you study through the Old Testament, especially as you get into the kings, as we've studied Saul and David up to this point, this is one of the things I'm taking notice of, that the focus is not on the king in Israel. The focus is on the prophets of God. Can I remind you that the prophets of God were the ones who anointed the next kings? They were sent by God to anoint the king. That tells me, as far as authority in Israel, the Old Testament prophets actually, in many ways, had greater authority than even the kings. As we understand, even when the kings would go off into wickedness, God would send a prophet to send a message to them. You think about 1 King Saul. The prophet Samuel anointed him as king and even confronted him when he was going astray. And even as we saw here on the Lord's Day, the Old Testament officially ends with John the Baptist, according to Matthew 11:13 and Luke 16:16, until John. The Old Testament law and the prophets were until John. Of course, after that, the kingdom of God was preached. Now, let me give you a historical context. Again, I'm just kind of introducing the prophets here tonight. The 16 prophets that are included in Scripture covers about four centuries of prophecy. So about 400 years of prophecy are covered from about 800 to 400 B.C. Now, it's interesting, most of the prophets give chronological information. Notice me an example of this, Isaiah 1, verse 1. 2, as you're turning there, 2 did not give chronological idea of when they prophesied, Joel and Obadiah. But as much as possible, I want to try to study them out a little bit in chronological order. But Isaiah 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of, notice, Uzziah, King Uzziah, that's mentioned in chapter 6, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. As a comparison, notice with me also Hosea, chapter 1 and verse 1. Hosea, chapter 1 and verse 1. I believe one reason why it's helpful to understand the historical context is because you understand what's going on in the nation as these prophets are giving their message. Of course, Jeremiah 1, verse 1 tells us that he prophesied during the Babylonian captivity. Hosea 1, verse 1, again, this chronological context here, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, notice the same time relatively as Isaiah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Now, if I remember correctly, Hosea focuses his ministry on the northern kingdom and Isaiah on the southern kingdom. Again, these prophets often are divided into two groups, and I don't like this. I'm just going to state my opinion about this. When you hear talk and teaching about the Old Testament prophets, what are the two common divisions that are given in relation to the prophets? The major prophets and the minor prophets. And in fact, there's been a Sunday school lesson over the years I've seen, on the minor prophets. The problem with that is it mentally gives a distinction. Well, here's a major prophet and here's an insignificant prophet. That has nothing to do with it. In fact, Daniel sometimes is included in the major prophets. Sometimes he's not, but it's very interesting. There's other books in the so-called minor prophets that have more chapters than Daniel. So as we think about the chronological context, I think it's interesting and helpful to study that out so you know why they're preaching the message, proclaiming the message that God has given. I want to tie some of this together also just in an introduction here. We have also a contrast between writing prophets and many who did not write a book under inspiration of Scripture. I want to give you an example of this. Notice with me 1 Kings chapter 11. So let me ask you, if a prophet did not record a book in the Bible, did they have an insignificant ministry? Absolutely not. Their words were just as inspired by God as the writing prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and so on. Notice here 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 26. I'm going to give you an example here, and here's what I want to emphasize with this. Their words were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they were recorded by someone else under inspiration. Notice here, chapter 11, verse 26. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, notice, when even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Millo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And notice Solomon seeing the young man that he was industrious. He made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. It came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, notice Ahijah, found him in the way. And he had clad himself with a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. So he takes this new garment that Jeroboam had on, and he tore it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take the 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee." Notice again, this is recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by whatever prophet is recording this at this time. And of course, Jeroboam has to flee to Egypt because Solomon is opposing him. I want you to fast forward then to chapter 14. I want you to notice then also something else here as far as Jeroboam. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick, and Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. And behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people." Again, this inspired message of God that's recorded by another prophet. "And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so and rose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. And thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam." Here's his message from God. "Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. For as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke thee, provoke me, to anger and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, every male child. And notice him that is shut up and left in Israel and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone. What a message he had for him. And again, this is a prophet of God with a message from God. And you think about Elijah, Micaiah, and Elisha, all of them did not write a book of the script, of the Bible, an Old Testament book. As we close, notice with me 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. As we fast forward then to the end of the kingdom of Judah, notice it says, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, plural, the prophets of God, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. I do not know of one prophet in the Old Testament scriptures that had a popular message. Not one. It's not saying they did not have partially at least a message of comfort if people would respond to the Lord. What I think is very interesting, though, is they had an unpopular message. They were faithful to the Lord, even to the very end. You think about the times Jesus refers to Old Testament prophets. Matthew 24:15, Jesus refers to Daniel the prophet. He also calls Abel in Genesis 4 a prophet, the first prophet. And it's also interesting, scriptures even in Jude even talks about Enoch prophesying about the second coming. I forgot I had this passage I wanted to close with. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. One of the things we need to be careful of, though, with Old Testament prophecies is that we interpret it according to the context, the historical context in which it was given, the prophets were given. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's why I often say be careful of following somebody who has this interpretation that no one's ever seen before. There's King James preachers even talk about that. You know, there's prophecies, interpretations that no one's ever seen before throughout the New Testament church age. There's a red flag right there, a caution flag right there. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Notice holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As we think about the Old Testament prophecies, again, I don't know how long the series would be. I've not sensed that direction from the Lord yet. But I am looking forward to it as I listen and as I hear things, as I read through the Old Testament prophets from time to time over the years. I've had an interest in, of course, I preached through Daniel, but had an interest to study these books out more in more detail. And so I guess we'll go through a journey here and see how long the Lord leads us through that. But there's applications for us today as we see in the New Testament. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, in our reading and study of Scripture. Most importantly, to apply what we read. And Lord, even as we think about the message of the prophets, they did not have a popular message overall. In fact, many of them suffered persecution and even lost their lives because of the prophecy of the message that you gave them to proclaim. And Lord, I pray in this day that you'd help us be faithful unto thee in the proclaiming of thy truth. In Jesus' name, amen.